We are going back to our study in Mark chapter 6 today. We have started the 6th chapter, and we will move on today, beginning with verse 6, where we left off last time. Mark chapter 6 and verse 6. Let us consider the word of the Lord and His message to us today from the Scriptures. Mark 6 and verse 6. And He marveled because of their unbelief. And He went round about the villages teaching. And He called unto Him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two. And gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save or except a staff only, that is a walking stick, to help them up the hills. No scrip, that is a little pouch. No bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals. And not put on two coats. And He said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide or stay till ye depart from that place or from that village or city. And whatsoever and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Amen. We end our reading there with verse 13. And oh, may the Lord take this simple passage of Scripture today and give to our hearts a mighty message that we would be changed and made more and more like our Savior. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Our blessed Savior was not only despised and rejected when He was on Calvary's cross. He was rejected at the very start. When He came into this world, He was rejected from the inn and had to be born in a stable. And back in the previous chapter, we just finished chapter 5, the people of Gadara rejected Him. They wanted Him to leave their country. And then, we read at the beginning of chapter 6, He went into His own hometown where He had grown up. And there, He was also rejected as though He was a demon-possessed man. That's actually how they rejected Him. As though He got His great power of miracles and speaking from the devil. But He was not discouraged. As Isaiah prophesied of Him, He shall not be discouraged till He has set justice in the earth. What did He do? We are told in verse 6 that when He left there, He went round about the villages teaching. If He and His message were unwelcome in His hometown, He would go on to other ground to sow the gospel seed and the eternal truth in other places. though our precious Lord was in a very real sense wounded in the house of His friends by rejection in Nazareth, yet He did not call down fire from heaven upon them. He meekly went around to the smaller villages giving out the gospel. And now in verses 7 to 13, we read that Christ sent forth His 12 apostles. He gave them a mighty power. He gave them a message and a ministry. So let us this morning simply ask and answer three questions. Number one, how did He send them? Number two, what if the people despised them? And third, what was the message that they preached? So first of all, how did He send them? Notice verse 7 of chapter 6. Verse 7. You see that? Right there. Verse 7. And He called unto Him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two. He sent them forth two by two, or by two and two. Now, what does that mean? That He sent two at a time. He sent two together, sent out into various places to preach, to cast out demons, to heal the sick. We read in this passage that they did all of that. But you ever thought about how amazing Christ's power was? That the Lord Jesus Christ not only had so much power that He could cast out demons, but He could anoint His apostles with the same power that they could go out and cast out demons as well. How amazing. At the end of verse 7, notice that they were sent out to preach, to cast out demons, and to heal the sick. At the end of verse 7, we read He gave them power over unclean spirits. And then in verse 13, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Now, sending out ministers two by two was very wise. Many successful church planters have gone out two by two. You've read of them. Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas, Paul and Timothy, Barnabas and Mark. Early church examples of those that went out two by two. Now this certainly helps. It helps each other, as they can encourage each other, and they can thereby conquer loneliness, and they can be immediately accountable to each other. Hey brother, now you need to. Now, that's very important. We are told in the wisdom of Ecclesiastes, in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, we are shown the wisdom of this. Two are better than one. If they fall, the other one will lift up the other. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. The Quad Cities over there, Muscle Shoals, Florence, Tuscumbia, and Sheffield, they have been known in many groups as a church planter's graveyard. Many a church planter that has gone out alone has been overwhelmed with hopelessness and loneliness and has given up. So this is indeed very wise, because two can do much more work than one. But even if two are sent into different places and are working, two together can still do more work. The Hussites and the Moravians saw great success in their missionary movement in the 18th century and even before by sending out missionaries two by two across the world. That's one reason we have Old Salem, North Carolina, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and other places in the Caribbean and around the world, because the Hussites, the Moravians, sent out two by two. This pattern here. Proverbs 27, verse 17 declares a great principle in this regard. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Do you know the Old and New Testaments give the same message? For we have the identical truth in the New Testament that's right there in Proverbs 27, 17 about iron sharpening iron. If you look in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, you have the same word. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. The word provoke is the Greek word literally meaning to sharpen. It's such a picturesque word because it means to come alongside your brother and sharpen him. You know, you get on the side of a blade and you sharpen it. That is exactly what that word means. To sharpen beside. So, Christ sent out these missionaries, these ministers, two by two. After all, isn't he the wisest commissioner of them all? He certainly is. So how did Christ send them? He sent them two by two. The second question, why did people despise them? Notice verses 8 and 9. Verse 8, and he commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save or except a staff, only a walking stick, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. Now these were true servants of God. They were obviously poor. They had very few possessions. Uh-oh! They got it all backwards, didn't they? Because they should have had gold chains around their neck. They should have had lots of gold rings on their fingers. And they should have preached the health and prosperity gospel. No. The Lord was showing by what He told them to do, giving the evidence that they were not out for what they could get and to enrich themselves. They were not after aggrandizement for themselves. They had the Word of God. They had the great treasure of salvation to preach. So there should be a very simple arrangement that the people would hear them and then the people would help them with lodging and some food. As verse 10 says, in what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. Now, here is another very important principle that he was giving them right here in verse 10. If you were offered hospitality in a poor home, in a village or in a town, then stay there until you leave that village or town. And pray that God will bless your host, that God will richly supply for your host. Now, here's the kicker. Even if you're offered a more swanky accommodation elsewhere, don't be so greedy and don't be so self-centered that you will leave that poorer home for your own personal enjoyment and go to the nicer place. When you come into that town, you stay there till you leave. Because if you leave
That would be a very bad testimony for the gospel. That would be a humiliating way to treat your first host and would be an awful testimony with negative effects. I know what they're here for. They wanted some big time place to rest in. But then the question we're asking is, what if the people despise them and reject their message altogether? Look at verse 11. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. For those that refuse to heed the gospel, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for them. Thousands of people this morning are doing what you're doing. Thousands of people are appearing today, many attending worship services. But you know, thousands of people seem or appear to think that as long as they go to church, they do not murder, they do not steal, they do not commit adultery, that they're in no great danger. However, there must be more than this to save the soul. One of the greatest sins that a person can commit is hearing the gospel and yet not receiving it. Do you say that? Jesus said, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you, he says it's going to be worse for them in the day of judgment than for Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know, when we think about bad things, that certainly comes to our mind today. Sodom and Gomorrah. To fail to repent and to believe the gospel will sink a soul into the lowest hell. Christ is the highest judge and authority. He said that not hearing and not savingly believing the gospel will put you into a worse eternal punishment than if you had been a sodomite or a predator in Sodom or Gomorrah. What a very serious word. That if you do not hear and heed the message of God's Word, it will be worse for you in the day of judgment than it will be for Sodom and Gomorrah. Those cities that God melted and turned to salt with the fire from heaven. We've asked, how did Christ send them? He sent them two by two. And what if the people despise them? What an awful judgment that would bring upon them. Finally, the third question, what did they preach? Notice verse 12. And they went out and preached that men should repent. What does repent mean? Repent means to change a worldview. It means to get a new worldview. It means to change the mind. A thorough change of mind. And it includes a change of life and lifestyle. It means to hate the sin that you once loved and that you really begin to love the Savior that you despised before. What does it mean to despise? It does not mean outright hatred. It simply means to not regard. Like we sing at communion, all ye that pass by, to you is it nothing that Jesus should die. Just considering Him worthless and nothing. Despising Him simply means just ignoring Him. Despising Him means to not consider the matter of looking on Christ by faith as the matter of first importance and number one priority. because He is the true and the only living God. Now I say that many of you here literally despise Christ just by going on your merry way. Children, one way of despising Christ is just going on your merry way and not considering Him to be the most important person in the whole world and in all of eternity. To repent means to have the true and the brand new view of God. A brand new view of our human nature, our sin, of Christ, of holiness, and of eternity. That's what repent means. Repent means to have a brand new way of looking at everything. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Every saved sinner is brought to the point of sorrowing for sin. Every saved sinner is made willing to turn from that sin and give it up. Every saved sinner is willing to begin hungering and thirsting for Christ, to take up His cross and follow Him. It is exactly as Dr. Martin Luther pointed out. He said, once we repent and are converted to Christ, we will live a life ever after on this earth of repenting more and more and more and more until at last we are with Christ in glory. Repentance is not a one-time experience. So I ask you, have you truly repented? It's one thing to know the doctrine in your head. But how much better it is to know it in your experience as well as in your mind. To know that you are indeed living a life of repenting, turning from sin. And, oh Lord, I want to be more and more like You. I want to serve You. I don't want to go serve this sin. I want to serve You. Repentance unto life is a saving grace, whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin, an apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, doth with grief and hatred of his sin turn from it unto God, with full purpose of an endeavor after new obedience. That is our shorter catechism definition of repentance, and it's true, and it's biblical. So I ask you, have you really received the saving message of the gospel? Have you taken up your cross to follow Christ? Are you His no matter what the cost, no matter what you have to face? Are you His? R.L. Dabney pointed out in the Lord's Supper that the meaning is, when we confess Him as our Lord and Savior, that we are making this confession that we are soldiers following Jesus. That we are willing to die for Him. Wow. Does your experience of salvation cause you to daily repent of sin? Now let me speak to you very pointedly. Do not dare to trust in a profession of faith to get you into a happy eternity unless that profession is powerful enough to lead you to daily repent. What was the message that our Lord Jesus Christ gave to His apostles? And they went out and preached that men should repent. Our Savior declared it Himself. He said, except you repent, you shall all perish. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy holy word. We praise Thee that Thy word finds us right where we live. And Lord, we pray that Thou continue
the burden of Thy holy word and truth upon our consciences, upon our memories. Oh God, we want to be changed. We want to be more like Jesus. We want to know the truth and the reality of Christianity and not just have something on our lips, but in our hearts and lives. Help us, O Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.